Okay, last time we were talking about the concept of Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami, and we had the comparison that we saw in Tosfos to the world of Garmi, and we pointed out the differences between Garmi and Dovar HaGorim Mamon, that we had the number of Terutzim within Tosfos, and we saw that Dovar HaGorim Mamon has its own has its own framework in terms of defining something in, as belonging to a certain owner, and then there are a lot of consequences to that decision. What we left off was with the question: at what point does Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami kick in? Does it kick in only, in other words, Dovar HaGorim Mamon? The examples that we gave were situations where something legally, juridically belongs to Party A. However, Party B has responsibility. Party B has responsibility, and because of the responsibility of Party B, we're going to consider it to be his. So the question is, at what point does that kick in? Does it kick in only when the responsibility turns into a reality, or even when the if we're talking about an animal, even when the animal is still alive, even when the responsibility is still theoretical, do we say at that point also, Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami? That was our Chakira, and we saw that we saw four different sources, and just reviewing, and in those four sources, we saw it was like 3-1. But one of them was the Gemara that everyone learns. Everyone learns Psachim, first Perek, and so everyone knows that there's a din of Bayira u Bayimatze. The chametz, which is mine, I am not allowed to own on Pesach, and if I do, even if I don't eat it, it's still an Isur Doraisa by Rabbi Bayimatze. What about chametz that belongs to a non-Jew, which happens to be in my house? So, even though I see it, that's not the din of Bayira. Bayira shalchaya taroa. Ataroa shalachayrim. There's no Isur of you to walk through the shuk on Pesach and to see all the Arab chametz. It's not an Isur of seeing. You're not allowed to own it. What if we have a situation where the chametz belongs to the non-Jew, but I'm responsible if something happens to that chametz? I have the insurance policy on that chametz. So the Gemara says we have over here a gzeras hakasuv bal yimatzei, that even if something is not mine, but I'm responsible for it, I'm over by Yiro, by Yimatze. That's also going to be an Isur. And then the Gemara says that even the man da'amar, Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami, needs such a gzeras hakasuv. Because Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami is only when the chametz is destroyed, only when it's lost, then the Jew is responsible. While the chametz is still be'en, while it's still, while it is still in existence, then, it's not my chametz, it's the goy's chametz. V'chi isa be'enei hadar. In other words, that if the chametz is existing, the Jew would just return it to the goy. We gave the example of an insurance policy on a car. I go to the insurance company and I take out insurance on my car in case it's stolen. So, when my car is stolen, then the insurance policy kicks in. Namely, then, who's going to lose the money? The insurance company. So they're considered to be the owner of the car once it's stolen. It's as though the ganav stole it from the insurance company. They're going to run after the ganav. That's between them and him. But while the car has not yet been stolen, it's not asked who's the car, it's my car. It doesn't belong to the insurance company, it belongs to me. So who hadin? Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami. If I have responsibility of chametz, when it's lost, then I have to replace it. That's when my insurance policy kicks in. Then, you know, where it's considered to be kiviyachol my chametz. But as long as the chametz is still in existence, it's like the car. Before it's stolen, then it belongs to the goy. It doesn't belong to me. That's what the Gemara im Sachim says. Yes.
So does that mean that if someone damages this food that's in your house, then it automatically changes status from not your responsibility to all of a sudden you're over on by the way, not say how much time?
No, the bottom line is, in other words, I'm over by Yiro, by Yimatze, even before it is damaged, because of Gzeres HaKasuv. Gemara says we have a Pasuk, Lo Yimatze. We have Gzeres HaKasuv, that if I have responsibility, then I am Chaya for the Chametz, even when it's still Be'en, even when it's still there. But we need the Gzeres HaKasuv, even according to the Man Da'amar, Dovar HaGorim Mamon K'mamon Dami. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. That even that man da'amar needs gzeras hakasav, because as long as the chametz is still be'en, we wouldn't apply the din of darav gamam mamam kamam dami. That the halacha of darav gamam mamam kamam dami only kicks in when the chametz is lost.
I'm saying, according to that data, if something would not lost, let's say it's damaged, you have to pay it back.
If that's my responsibility to pay it back if it's damaged, then at that point I would be chayev without the gzeras hakasav. Again, I'm chayev with the gzeras hakasav even beforehand. In other words, the halach darav gamamon kamamon dameh would kick in when something happens to it and my insurance becomes activated. However, even though that's the sugya in Psachim, there are three other sources that imply that darav gamamon applies even when the object is still in existence. We have a din of ona'ah. When one's not allowed to take, one's not allowed to overcharge for merchandise. That halacha of ona'ah is lo tonu ish et re'ehu. That applies between a hedyot and a hedyot. If we have something which is owned by hekdesh, there's no din of ona'ah. That's gzeras hakasav. The Mishnah says, however, that according to Rabbi Shimon, kodshim shechayev ba'achri yusan, there will be a din of ona'ah. That if I said, there are two types of kodshim. There's kodshim of a nedava and kodshim of a neder. A nedava is that I go over to an animal and I say, hare zu ola. That's kodshim she'en chayev v'achri yusan. That animal is an ola. If something happens to that animal, that's Hekdesh's problem. It's not my problem. If that animal dies, I don't owe anything to Hekdesh. I set aside that animal. Now it's Hekdesh's animal. But kodshim shechayev v'achri yusan means I made a neder. I said, hare alai ola. And then I said, I want this animal to fulfill my neder. Then if something happens to the animal, I have to replace it. Because I have a neder, I have a vow that I have to bring something to Hekdesh. I thought it would be this animal. If this animal, something happens to it, then I'll bring something else. So Rav Shimon says that kodshim shechayev b'achri yusan, there would be a din of ona. If I wanted to sell this animal to someone else and I overcharged him, that would be considered to be a mekachtos, etc. It belongs to Hekdesh. No, but since I'm responsible to replace it, it's like it belongs to me. And the moment it belongs to me, it belongs to Hedyot, then there's a din of ona. Or an example which is even more powerful, we have a din of ir nidachat. Any animal that belongs to the members of the ir nidachat is destroyed along with the city. That which belongs to Hekdesh, of course, is not destroyed. What if we have an animal which is kodshim shechayev b'achri yusan, and one of the members of the ir nidachat said, hareya alai ola, and then said, this animal will fulfill my neder. Is that animal considered to be Hekdesh and is exempt from the punishment of your nidachat, or it's considered to be belonging to the member of your nidachat? So again, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Davar gamam mamon kamamon damei, kodshim shechayev b'achri yusan, are destroyed along with the ir nidachat. They're considered to belong even when they're alive. Even though the insurance policy hasn't yet been activated, b'chol zot, they're considered to belong to the hedyot, to the individual, not to Hekdesh, but to the people of the ir nidachat. The third example is a Tosefta in Baba Kama, that we know that when animals damage animals, we have this parsha of Shortam and Shor Muad. The language of the parsha is Ki Yigach Shor Ish et Shor Re'ehu. This applies between Hedyot and Hedyot, between Jew and Jew. It doesn't apply to the world of non-Jews. It doesn't apply to the world of Hekdesh. What if an animal which is called Shem Shechayev B'achri Yusan gores or is gored? Again, the Tosefta says, according to Rabbi Shimon, Dovar gamamamon kamamon dame, we view that animal as belonging to the Hedyot, and that the dinim of Shor Tam and Shor Muad would apply to it. So we have one source that implies that the din of gamamamon kamamon dame only kicks in when the insurance policy is activated, and we have three examples where we see that Dovar gamamamon kicks in immediately even when the insurance policy is still theoretical. So the question is, what's going on over here? That's what the Ktsos was bothered by. The Ktsos learned the Gemara in Psachim. He says, that's the din of Davar Gama Mamon. Davar Gama Mamon is only post the accident to the chametz. Only when the chametz is lost, only then does the insurance policy kick in. Only then is a Jew considered to be its owner. And then his son asked him, "How can you say that? We have the Gemara of Ir Nidachat," and then the Ktzos said, "Just a minute. We also have the Tosefta." Namely, the Ktzos and his son were both bothered by seeing these sources that go against the Gemara Pesachim, and the Ktzos simply leaves it all as one big Tzarech Iyun. I don't understand. It appears that we have a machlokas within Chazal in terms of the point at which Davar Gamamamam becomes operative. Is it operative immediately? That's the Tosefta Baba Kama. That's the din of Ir Nidachat. That's the din of Ona'a. Or does it only kick in when the insurance policy is activated? Okay, so I pointed out that when I learned this sugya by Rav Lichtenstein, these sugyas over here in Ksuvas have many parallels in the seventh parak of Baba Kama. So he offered two distinctions. If you think about it, the three cases all have a common denominator. Namely, the case in Pesachim is dealing with chametz. The other three cases are dealing with the world of kodshim shechayev ba'achriyusan. Can we think of a way of distinguishing between these two realms, the realm of chametz and the realm of kodshim shechayev ba'achriyusan? Again, the chametz is owned by a non-Jew. The Jew has responsibility. We say that responsibility only kicks in when the chametz is lost. The kodshim are owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jew has responsibility to replace it. We say that responsibility is immediate. The Jew immediately is considered to be the owner. Can you think of why we would distinguish between those two situations? L'chora, the Jew has a parallel situation in each. He has responsibility. L'chora, the ownership is not his. Either the chametz is owned by the goy, or the behema is destined for the mizbeach. I try to, at least in my language, give you an opening to think of a distinction between them. Yes?
Perhaps kachim is also considered like buying a ball.
That's excellent. So one possibility is what Jason is saying. Jason is saying, maybe if we could hold your possibility for a minute. Let me give the other possibility first, and then your possibility. Any other thoughts? Yes? I would go back to the source. Who owns the chametz?
A non-Jew,
right? In other words, we're dealing with chametz which is owned by a non-Jew. The Jew only enters into the picture when the non-Jew asks the Jew, "Would you mind being my shomer?" Or he doesn't ask the Jew. In the case of Gemara, he orders the Jew. Right? If you're dealing with the soldiers. The army orders the Jews to be in charge of, to take responsibility for this chametz. But the chametz is basically owned by the non-Jew. Let's take the case of kachim shechayev v'achar yusan. I say, hare alai ola. And then I walk over to one of the sheep in my pen, and I said, I want this one to be the ola. Who does this animal belong to? Who did it belong to? Before I said anything, who did it belong to?
You.
It belonged to me. What happens when I said, this will be the Ola? I limited my ownership. Namely, I can't use this now to barter for a car. I can't use this now for its fleece. I can only use this for a car. But namely, I limited my ownership that this is now has a yi'ud, this now has a destination, a destiny. It has a destiny of being a korban. When I take responsibility that something happens to this animal, I'm going to replace it with a different animal, what am I basically doing? I am returning my ownership. Namely, I was the owner, I limited my ownership, and by my taking responsibility, I am now expanding my ownership. So it's all between me and the animal. Namely, the chametz belongs to the goy. My relationship to it is only insurance. Here we're dealing with an animal that belongs to me. I limited my ownership by saying this animal is going to be a korban. When I take responsibility, I am now expanding my ownership. So those are two different worlds. when the chametz belongs to a goy, and my only relationship to it is the insurance. So when the insurance kicks in, I'm responsible. Until the insurance kicks in, it belongs to the goy. But in the case of the sheep belonged to me. It was my sheep. It had a limited own. My ownership was limited the moment I said it was going to be a korban. I can't use it now for its wool. I can't use it now for its value. I can't go ahead and sell it on the market. But when I have responsibility for it, Rav Shimon says, that returns to me my original ownership. So I can be considered to be the owner even when it's still alive, because I had residual ownership, and now that residual ownership is being enhanced. Yes?
Why don't we say in the situation that the person simply kept their original ownership and now is limited? Why does it have to be their original ownership?
Because that's what we call a korban. I mean, that's the din of all korbanot. And classically in the Torah, that's not no longer Re'ehu. Rabbi Shimon says, however, when I also have, on top of my residual ownership, I also have an insurance policy, that can enhance my ownership and bring it back to the world of Hedyot. Okay? So that's one possibility. But Jason had an excellent, better answer, Pashtus, than the one I just gave. Jason said the difference is in terms of at what point is the insurance policy activated? When I have a car and I'm driving around, this is totally my car. It's activated when it's stolen. When the car is stolen, when the car is lost, then the insurance policy is activated. That's what we have in the world of chametz. The chametz belongs to the goy, even though it's in my house. It belongs to the goy. If at any point it is stolen or lost, then the insurance policy is activated. Then it's as though it's my loss, not the goy's loss. However, in the world of kodshim, I made a neder. I made a vow, harei alai ola. I owe an ola. When I say this sheep is going to be an ola, I am activating my insurance policy. I am activating my responsibility. At that point, I have a neder. In other words, it's not as though, like by in the case of the goy, my relationship was in potential until it got lost, and then was activated by the loss. Here, my insurance policy was activated by my vow. Hare alai ola. I owe an ola. That has to be activated. I activate it by choosing a sheep. If the sheep is lost, then it's twice activated. But this sheep, the moment I say hare alai ola, and this is the ola, that's already activating my insurance policy. So my relationship to the animal is when the policy is activated. There's a difference in time in the world between when I make a neder, the activation is immediate. When I say hare, that this animal will be the ola. In the world of chametz, the activation is only upon its loss, upon its theft, etc. That's what you wanted to say. 100%. Okay. So those are the two distinctions that Rav Lichtenstein offered, that it's not a question over here of a stira between the sugyos, but we're dealing with two types of gorim lamamon. Again, either we'll distinguish between who was the original owner, and then I only enter into the picture when it's stolen, or if I'm the original owner, I enter into the picture already immediately, and then my ownership is enhanced. Or we distinguish at what point is the insurance activated. Is the insurance activated only upon theft? That's by chametz. Or is the insurance activated the moment I choose an animal? That is the insurance, that is my achrayus, that is my responsibility to fulfill my vow. I am already activating my responsibility by choosing an animal. Okay, ad kan in terms of Davar Gama Mamon. We now begin another direction on the bottom line of Daf Lama Dalet Amar Aleph. Rabba Amar, Le'olam, if we go back to the statement of Rabbi Meir on Daf Lama Gimel Amad Beis, that when we have Gona V'Tavach B'Shabbos, you're Chayev Dalet V'Hei, and we wanted to interpret that statement. Why? You chayev, because it was tovei achayev de acher. One person is chayev misa, the other person is chayev mamon, so you can have the two chiyuvim. Rabbi Amar, no, lolam betovei achayev de atzmo. The ganav himself is the toveach. So the problem is he's toveach on Shabbos. If he's toveach on Shabbos, why in the world is he chayev? Is kamei midrabbi minei? Rabbi Meir, Loke umeshalem Islay, Meis umeshalem Leslay, Ve Shani Hani the Chidishu Shechid Shatora Diknas, Dafagav the Miktal Meshalem. Namely, even though Rav Meir understands there's a distinction between Loke umeshalem and Meis umeshalem, Rav Meir holds that there's no din of Kederish also, that if you're Chayef, Malkos and Tashlumen, there's no problem of double jeopardy, you get both. But in Kamle Midurabamine, Meis Umeshalem, Lesle, you don't pay money. Kamle Midurabamine, Misa knocks off the Chiyuv of Tashlumen. That's a totally separate pasuk, nothing to do with Kedei Rishaso. That is a din of Imloye Ason, Anosh Yeonesh. However, our Gemara is not talking about a classic case of Mammon of compensation. We're talking over here about Dalad Vehe. Dalad Vehe is a knas. Kefel is a knas. Shloshim Shel Eved is a knas. We have a whole framework in a whole set of payments that are not mammon, that are knas. And when we're dealing with knas, that overrides Kamle Midrabimine. When we're dealing with knas, we don't say that the Chi of Misa knocks off the Chi of Mammon. We say that that's part of the knas. The part of the knas is that you're not just paying compensation, you're being fined. And that fine applies even if you're Chayav Misa, you're also going to be Chayav the fine. So even though the Ganav is Chayav Misa for the Tvicha, he's going to be Chayav the fine of Dalet Vehei. That's a Chiddush Shechid Shatorah. That's a possibility. What Tosus over here points out as a side issue is that this distinction between Knas and Mammon is only going to be a distinction when we're dealing with Kamei Midrabamine, when we're dealing in the world of Misa, when we're dealing in the world of Malkos and a payment. So there, our only source to say that we have a limitation is Kedei Rishaso. And according to Rav Meir, that Kedei Rishaso is found in the parish of Eid Zomein. And Eid Zomein, Rav Meir says, we know Loke Umeshalem, that's compared to Motzi Shemra. And so the pasuk of Kedei Rishaso will only apply to a totally different case of Misa and Malkos. There we're going to have a problem of double jeopardy. But in the moment that we're dealing with the world of Mammon and Malkos, that's going to be across the board. So in the world of Mammon and Malkos, it's irrelevant if it's Knas, irrelevant if it's Mammon. You're going to have two punishments. In the realm of Misa and Mammon, there it depends on the nature of the Mammon. If it's compensation, the Misa overrides the compensation. Kamle b'drabimine. If it's a fine, the fine exists even in the face of the Misa. V'azda rava l'ta'ame. This statement over here, azda rava l'ta'ame, dama rava, Rashi understands that Rava agrees with this halacha of Rav Meir. That's Rashi dibra maskel chayav. Rabba Svira Lake Rav Meir. Tosa says, no, Aliba de Rav Meir Ko'amar, Velo Mishum de Savar Haki. Rav Meir is a wild cheetah. Right? The Chiddush Shechid Shatorah, that we distinguish between a fine and a compensation on the left coming of Dramine, that's Rav Meir. But Rabba said, I will take Rav Meir to his logical conclusion. I mean, Rabba was saying this according to Rav Meir, but he doesn't actually agree with it. This is not brought down anywhere in halacha, but we have to understand the inner logic in the cases of Rabba. Dama Rabba, hoya gedi ganuv lo. Ganuv lo means someone stole a gedi on Erev Shabbos. That's a classic geneva. You steal something on a weekday. No problems over here. So the moment you stole it, you are now chayev kefel. Theoretically, if you shecht it, you're going to be chayev dalad vehe. Utvacho b'shabbos. And then you go ahead and turn this theory into a practicality, and you shecht it on Shabbos, chayev. Why you chayev? Sof kol sof, why don't we say kamle midrabimine on the dalad vehe? Dikvar nischayev b'gneva kodam shiyavo lidei isur Shabbos. Because on the level of mammon compensation, paying Karen, that you're chayev from the weekday. And here, on Shabbos, what kicks in? Dalet v'hei, a knas. So the Chilul Shabbos doesn't remove the knas. There's no kama midrabimineh on a knas. However, if we have a situation of datatam gonav v'tavach b'Shabbos, namely that not only was a tvicha done b'Chilul Shabbos, the geneva was done b'Chilul Shabbos, then patur. Why patur? Because the geneva is mamon. The geneva is keren. You have to pay compensation for the geneva. That's overridden by kamei b'derabimineh. Once the keren falls off, imein geneva, ein tvicha ve'ein machira. Dalad vehei is always working off of a multiple of the keren. If there's no keren, there's not going to be any dalad vehei. So when there is a payment of keren, when there's a payment of compensation, because the geneva was done in the Erev Shabbos, then kamei b'derabimineh will not cancel dalad vehei. When there's not, when the keren is knocked off by dalad vehei, then memela there's not going to be any dalad vehei. When the keren is knocked off by misa kamei b'derabimineh, then the dalad vehei is going to fall off as well. And then Rabbah gives another logical extension of the din of Rav Meir, v'amar Rabbah. We have another situation of kamei b'derabimineh, not only chilul Shabbos, but also b'machteret, that if someone tunnels into someone else's house in order to steal, then he is basically forfeiting his life. The assumption of the Bala Bayis is this person is coming to kill or steal or kill, and so in self-defense, he'll try to habala hargacha hashkem v'horgo, and it's mutter for him to kill this individual who he views as a potential murderer. Again, there are all sorts of limitations in terms of the relationships between the two, in terms of are there other alternatives, etc. But we have this din of Baba Machteret that a person would be chayav misa. So if we have a situation of gedi ganuv lo, that first the individual stole the gedi, not in the Machteret. So he's chayav already keren. And then tevacho b'machteret, and then he jumps into the tunnel, and the person, the Baal HaBayis, is not aware that he is going out, because if he's going out, l'chor, there's no din of machteret. He thinks maybe he's coming back in, and he kills him, and at, you know, words, I'm sorry, he doesn't kill him, but he's chayav misa, and at the time of the tvicha, then chayav, then he's going to be chayav dalad vehei. He's chayev misa. Shouldn't we say kamei d'rabimineh? Shekvar nischayev v'gneva kodem sheyavol lidei iser machteret. The keren was there's no kamei d'rabimineh, and in terms of the dalad vehei, that's a knas, and a knas overrides kamei d'rabimineh. However, gonav v'tavach b'machteret, namely that we have the chayev misa simultaneous with the gneva pater, then you pater from dalad vehei. Kim ein gneva, because kamei d'rabimineh knocks off the gneva, ein tvicha v'ein machira. And the Gemara points out, Sricha, that the Rabbah had to give these two situations, because we would have thought that some halacha is, the Malchus Rashi and Tosfos, that some halacha is dependent upon the nature of the Chiyuv Misa. We have Chiyuvei Misa that are more Chamor, Chiyuvei Misa that are more Kal. So classically we know that we have Skila, Sreifa, Herig, Vechenek. So Skila and Sreifa are more Chamor, Herig, Vechenek are more Kal. But leaving that aside, if you're going to have a chi of misa, we can give the individual at any point, the moment that Adam come to court, that's a more chamadika chi of misa. A chi of misa, which is a temporary chi of misa, only when he's found in the machteret, when he is the rodef, that's a more kal chi of misa. If we have a chi of misa that requires a hasra, that's more kal. If we have a chi of misa you can give even without hasra, that's more chamor. And so we would have thought that maybe we distinguish between the cases over here of chilul Shabbos and of machteret, because one is more chamor than the other, and there are different aspects. Kamashman, we don't distinguish. Okay, that's just an overview of the sugya. Okay, there is a lot to talk about. But let's talk about the Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos. Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos, in that situation, Rabbah says that according to Rav Meir, you'd be potter from Dalad Vehei, because since we have a simultaneity between the Geneva and Achiyav Misa, that knocks off Karen, and if there's no Karen, there's no Dalad Vehei. What's the case? How were you gonav v'toveach b'Shabbos with Chilul Shabbos? Tvicha is a malacha. Okay. But how are you gonev with Chilul Shabbos? What's the Chilul Shabbos that's involved in Geneva? This should bring us back to previous sugyas. So what does Rashi say over here? Which one of the 39 avos malachos are you over when you steal something. When you shecht an animal, we have a malacha called shechita. Okay? That's one of the 39 of us malachas. Where do we have a malacha called gneva? What malacha is being done over here, according to Rashi? Hotza, excellent. Hotza. That the object was in Rishus HaYachid, and take interest in it, but we're not talking over here about a wallet. We're talking over here about a gedi. What's the issue of taking a gedi from Rishus to Rishus? Is that a chiyuv da'oraisa? Let's say I picked up the gedi, put it on my shoulder, and I carried it out. Is that a malacha da'oraisa of Hotza'ah? So what Rashi points out, let's look it over here in Rashi. Velo, Rashi in the middle of Dibramaskal Patur, Velo Sphira de Karev Nasan Domar Chai Nose Esatzmo. We have an issue that we have a statement of Rav Nasan that someone or something that is living, be it a human being or be it an animal, when you carry it, you're really not totally carrying it. It's not dead weight. A human being is also a participant, or an animal is a participant in its being carried. And it's not Chayev D'oraisa. It's only Asid Rabbanan. If it's Asid Rabbanan, there's no Kamei Midrabi Minei. I mean, we need a Chiyav Misa. The Chiyav Misa comes about via Malacha D'oraisa. According to Rav Nasan, there is no Chiyav D'oraisa. So Rashi gives us two alternatives. Either Lo Sfir like Rav Nasan, namely, that Rabba is telling us we don't pass like Rav Nasan. We don't distinguish between alive or dead. We don't distinguish between the nature of the burden. Even if you carry an animal which is alive, you're chayev d'oraisa. Or, what's the other alternative according to Rashi? Kafut. Kafut means that the animal is tied up. It can't, has no locomotion. We've turned this live animal into a book. We've turned them into venison. Is that the word? We've turned them into lamb chops. In other words, he is, it's as though he's not alive. He can't move. And so that's why when you carry him, you're chayev d'oraisa. That's what Rashi says.
Is there anyone that argues on that idea, kafut?
No. Everyone agrees with that. But the problem that the Rishone Svarad, I noticed that if you a page that should be floating around. Are there extras of that page?
A lot of extras.
Can I have one? Well, actually, there's a lot of missing people. Okay. It's like the not time for Muslim now, but just to go to sleep. Okay, I focused on the page a whole bunch of makoros. We have over here a Ramban and a Rashba and the Ritva, and they all learn differently from Rashi. And the Rashba is really the one who takes Rashi to task, because he points out, look at the Rashba in the bottom of the right-hand column, Pirish Rashi bishum dechiv mamon dekeren oshele be'isur Shabbos v'lo sfir le'kerev nosan demarchai nosei etzatzmo. Rashba had Rashi in front of him. He says, v'lo hi davanti devarav. I don't understand what he's talking about. What means is this individual using to carry out his hotza'ah? I didn't mean any puns. What means is this person using to fulfill his hotza'ah? Im higbiho, if he lifted the sheep, okay, let's say we don't hold like Rav Nasan, or let's say the sheep is all tied up. But harei neschai v'mamon kodem shiavo l'idei Easter Shabbos. He's already a ganav for lifting it. The gneva isn't when he takes it out from Rishus to Rishus. Hagbah is a kinyan. The gneva is when he makes a kinyan. V'ibe meshich, if he doesn't lift it, but he drags it, b'holo shayecha hid Rav Nasan, then why did Rashi bring in Rav Nasan? Rav Nasan is talking about carrying. He's not talking about dragging. And also, v'od di'isur geneva ikar ikar Shabbos leka. And then, by dragging it, that's not a chiyuv of Shabbos. That's not the way you carry out a gedi. That shelo kedarka. Hare gedi holach beraglav. If you drag it, you're taking this gedi out shelo kedarka. And if you want to say that we're dealing with the kafus, hi hagbak, var nischayev b'geneva previously. V'ibe meshicha, just a minute. We pointed out anything that you normally use hagbah on, mashicha is not kona. We pointed out by the wallet. There's a difference between a wallet and a suitcase and a carry-on bag. And so a gedi isn't something that you drag. Gedi is something that you lift. The kofus bar hagbahu. And v'chol davar shederach derach hagbiyah ein mashicha. V'chulei v'chulei. Namely, that we have over here issues within Rashi. It's not just enough to say we don't pass like Rav Nosson or we tie up the Gedi. But just a minute, if we're dealing with Hagbah, the Hagbah, then we have a Kinyan that precedes the Hotzah. If we're dealing with Mashicha, that's Shelo Kedarko, that on anything in which you can normally do Hagbah, you're not kona with Mashicha. So where do we have over here a simultaneity between the Chilul Shabbos, going from Rishus to Rishus, and the Geneva? So there is an answer. There is an answer that we should be able to figure out. How could we set this up using that which we learned in previous sugyos, particularly on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, or Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph? How would we set this up? Either we bang it from hand to hand, right? Or when I pick it up, I don't stop. I pick it up with the intention of carrying it, and then we say Hagbah, Tzorech, Hotzah, right? We'd have to use the previous sugya, which is not bad to use the previous sugya, right? And that's what the Ravid points out. Efshar, in other words, if we set it up, Kevin Higbio, Amanas Lahotzio, Velo Amad, Hagbah, Tzorech, Hotzah, etc. But this is all the tip of the iceberg. The real, real, I'm coming to you in a minute, though. The real, real issue of the Rashba with Rashi's Pshat, we're going to see in a moment. Yes, Dov?
When he says that you pick it up without stopping and bring it out, is it alive? Is it normally moving? Because then we can say, okay, well, like Rabbi Nathan, also it doesn't work.
Right. We have to bring in that either this is tied up or it's Enokir of Nathan. That we need. But Rashi seems to say that's all that we need. But once we get rid of Rav Nosson, once we get rid of Rav Nosson's issue, then we're clear sailing. That the Rashba says the minute. Okay, we got rid of Rav Nosson, but what about the issue of Mashicha? What about the issue of Gerera? What about the issue of Hagbah? Okay, so we can answer these issues. But what really, really, really bothered the Rashba is the next line in the Rashba. Adayin Kashali. That the Braisa seems to imply, why am I potter from Dalet Vehei? Because I did the Geneva and the Tvicha on Shabbos. But according to this explanation, that the Geneva was done via the Hotza'ah, Hare Potter Mikefel, skipped a line. Diimkein Maishna Tvacho B'Shabbos, Afilu Tvacho B'Chol Name. Why does the Braisa speak about the fact that I had to be Tovei Achid on Shabbos? According to this explanation, I'm off the hook even if I was Tovei Achid Motzei Shabbos, Sunday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday. If I did a Geneva on Shabbos, which knocks off the Karen, no matter when I'm Tovei Achid, there's never going to be Dalet Vehei. The Tvicha is always a Hemshech of the Geneva. Once I'm Potter on the Geneva, I'm never going to be Chayev Dalet Vehei. And according to Rashi, why in the world would Rabbah say in his statement, Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos? He should say, Ganav b'Shabbos, and then Taveach whenever, I'm going to be potter from Dalet Vehei. Because the main Geneva ain't Tvichu Mechira. Namely, within Rashi's Pshat, that we're dealing over here with the Geneva being a world of Hotzah, and the Tvicha being a world of Tvicha, that we have over here no interconnection with them on Shabbos, why is the Tvicha limited to Shabbos? Adayin Kashali, Imkein, Maishna Tvacha B'Shabbos, Afilu Tvacha B'Chol Name, Hare Pater Mikefel, the Be'isr Shabbos Bolo, V'Yemein Geneva, in Tvicha Mechira. The moment we have Kamei Midrabene on the Geneva, that knocks off Karen, Karen knocks off Kefel, Kefel knocks off Dalet Vehei. It's we have over here domino effect. Once we knock off the Karen, there's never going to be Dalet Vehei. So therefore, maybe there's another pshat in the entire Gemara that would answer all of these questions. So what we're going to do is see the alternate pshat of the Rishonim, and then go back to Rashi, and see, do we have an answer b'chol zot for Rashi? Okay? Is that okay with you? Or do you want to first answer Rashi and then go back? Any preference? I mean, can you can sort of put Rashi in a compartment. We have Rashi. Rashi, you know, is problematic on three planes. A, if we're dealing with the Gedi, it's alive and well. It's not something that you're chaya for carrying out according to Rav Nassan. So we have to neutralize Rav Nassan. Even after we neutralize Rav Nassan, we have to decide how is this moving from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabin. If it's being lifted, then you already were koneid in the Rishus HaYachid. If it's being dragged, that's Shelo Kedarka. If we're using over here a Mashicha doesn't work on something that you can carry. And so how is it being done? So we can answer that question, but it's going to be, set it up as an Ukimta. And thirdly, the third problem with Rashi is, why does Rabbah say that the Tzvicha was done on Shabbos? Once the Geneva was done via Hotzah, and we have Kama Midrabba Minei, no matter when the Tzvicha is done, today, tonight, tomorrow, a year from now, you're always going to be Pater from David Vehei, because we're missing the core. We have a Ptur on the Mammon, which underlies the Knas. Okay. So because of all of these questions, all Rishonei Svarad learned differently from Rashi. So we can go back to the top, to the Rebbe, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, the Talmidim of the Ramban. Go back to the Rebbe, to the Ramban, who says, over here, Gona v'tava v'shabas patur, muki laharav, Rashi, v'kofus, mashma di'ihu mefarishle b'megarer v'yotze, di'isur Shabbos v'gneva boim ke'echad, and as Avram pointed out, over here we're going to have to say, you knocked it from one hand to the other hand, v'chule v'chule, and we're going to have to say somehow that this gedi is very, very small, and it's usually dragged. We don't have to come on to that. Ella, the case is very simple. We're dealing with the fact we have two neighbors, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's gedi wandered into Shimon's chatzer, and Shimon decided to shecht it. And with that shechita, Now, not that we have over here two stages. First, we have a hotza'ah, and then we're going to have a tvicha. No, we have it all in one shot. That Reuven's animal wandered into Shimon's rishus. Shimon decided to steal it by being toveachit. And by doing that, we have a kamle midrabba minei on the keren, and that knocks off the dalet vehei. Had it been stolen from Erev Shabbos, then we would have had a keren, and then when you shecht on Shabbos, we would have a dalet vehei, because chidish shechid shatorah, when all that we have in the picture is misa and knas, the knas is going to stand. But when we're dealing over here that the keren is knocked off, because we have a kamle midrabba minei on the mammon, the moment that main gneva ain't tvicha mechira. That's the way all Rishonei Svarad learn. Who, and if you look later on in the Rashba, he says where how do I define it? There's one keta of the Rashba which is a little darker than the other keta. In the darker section, three lines from the bottom, Elanira Lefarish, Gonchohayasa Behemas Chave Revutza Bechatzero, Umiskabim Lagonva Liskos Baim Shritasa, Vachule. And Huad in the Ritva also learns that way. We're going to have to deal with, let's ask ourselves, what Kinyan is being used over here according to the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva? Not Hotzah. What Kinyan is going to be used over here? How am I Kona this Gedi? How am I Kona the Gedi? Kinyan. What Kinyan is being used over here? We have a world of Kinyanim. Rashi used something between Hagbah, Mashiach, and Greira. That was Rashi's Kinyan. What? Kinyan Chatzer. We're dealing over here with Kinyan Chatzer. So all of a sudden Avner says, Kinyan Chatzer? Kinyan Chatzer is the moment that the Gedi walks into the Chatzer. We want to over here say that it only is going to apply the moment of the Tzvicha. What does the Kinyan Chatzer have to do with the Tzvicha? So both the Ramban and the Rashba point out that we're dealing with a situation, like the Ramban, Misha Hayisa Behemas Chaver Revutza Lefanav Birshuso, V'tofcha Almanas Ligonva. that he didn't intend to be gonevit until the moment of the tvicha, or the language of the Rashba. Nira lefarish revutza b'chatzor diskavin lagonva lizka ben shkitasa. What's going on over here? Why isn't the chatzor kona it immediately? Why isn't the chatzor kona it immediately? What does this bring you back to? Again, I know you didn't chazer for a bechina yet, but have we discussed this? Is this like ringside? Hey, just a minute. We talked about this at one point. What's the halacha if an animal of hefker were to wander into my chatzer? When would I be kona that animal? The moment it's in my chatzer, it wanders in, it's now mine. What happens if someone says, I want to give you my animal as a matana, and then the animal wanders into my chatzer? What point is it mine? The moment it wanders in. But in Geneva, what did we say? He points out to Ksos that maybe, we saw it was a Dike and Rashi. There has to be what? Not just... Nachon. In other words, there are kinyanim that are passive, and then there are active. Geneva requires some activity. It requires a maisa kinyan. So we need a maisa. So what over here is going to be the maisa? The shchita. That's what the Ramban says. Look back at the language of the Ramban. Kegon shemisha yisad behemas kevor revutza lefana birushus. So the animal wandered into his rishus and lay down there. Utvacha al menas legonva. So I need a maisa. So my maisa is going to be the tvicha. So my tvicha is going to accomplish two things. A is going to be my kinyan geneva. The kinyan geneva is chatzer. But my chatzer has to be activated by a maisa. So when I do a maisa, now the maisa could be locking the door of the chatzer. That's the easiest way. Right? The maisa could be that I will grab the animal and sort of hold it there. Or the maisa could be that I'm toveach. But over here, we're not dealing as tvicha qua tvicha. We need, according to the Ramban, a maisa. We need a maisa. And then, on top of that, you know, so I'm also, so I'm a ganav, the moment I do the maisa, I'm a ganav via kinyan chatzer, and now I'm toveach. So the question is, what about dalad vehei? So since, or this is all simultaneous, since this is all simultaneous, and the kamei b'derabim minei of chilul Shabbos knocks off the chi of Karen, imein geneva, ein tvicho mechira. So I'm going to be potter from Dalad Vehe as well. So this answered all of our questions. Namely, we're not dealing over here with a kinyan via hotzah. We're dealing over here with a kinyan via chotzer combined with a maisa. But that's within the language of the Ramban. Right, the tovcha al menas legonva. We have the maisa that's going to activate the kinyan chatzer, but the Rashba takes it a little one step further. The Rashba's language is hayisa behemas chaver revutz bechatzero v'niskaven legonva v'liskos ba im shchitasa deilu niskaven liskos ba kodem shchita hare nischayev begeneva mishah shezachaba. We pointed out that this requirement of having a maisa geneva, that's a machokas rishonim. The Ramban, that's what he holds. But the Rashba says, no, I don't need a maisa. All I need is das kone. I just need das. And so my question is, when do I have das? Do I have das immediately, or do I have das as a, in other words, a postponed das? I have, in other words, and so the we're dealing with the unukimta, where I postpone my das. I only want to be miskaven liskos ba, not kodem shchita, even though I could be zroche it then, but bishas shchita. I want to be, I'm miskaven to be zroche it bishas shchita. What does this ring? What bell does this ring in your mind? Do I require? Does a ganav really require das makna? Is that really going to be a factor? Does a ganav require all of the accoutrements of a classic kinyan in order to be a ganav? Are we going to say that a mashicha in a rishus harabim is not going to be kona for a ganav because technically it's not kona for in the world of sale? What's the whole? We talked about this. What is the nature of geneva? What is the essence of geneva? we had a chakira. Is it my taking or my causing him a loss? If it's my causing him a loss, so if I'm Moshech, and I don't need all the technical details of Kenya. I just have to get it away from the owner. But if it's my taking, then I need a classic kinyan. And so it has to meet all the rules of kinyan. One of the rules of kinyan is I need das makne. And that das makne I can play with. I can say, I don't want it immediately, I want it in 10 minutes. I don't want it today, I want it to be kona it tomorrow. I want to be kona it when it rains. I want to be kona it when I shecht it. And that's what the Rashba is bringing in over here. If you recall, I mentioned this Rashba when we learned the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. When we have Rav Ashi, I'm sorry, Bereshus HaRabim Nami Kana, we have Ravina disagreeing with Rav Ashi. There are two deis in Tosfos of the Ri and the Ritzva as to whether we need the classic kinyan or not. So he said we have a Rashba later on that says that we need Das Kone. And this Das Kone of the Ganav, he can play with and decide when he wants to have it. So we have over here just a flashback to previous sugyas. The common denominator of the Rashba and the Ramban is that we have a Kinyan Chatzer, which is taking place simultaneous with the Tvicha. What is the connection, according to the Ramban? The Kinyan Chatzer is held in abeyance until there's a Maisa. According to the Rashba, the Kinyan Chatzer is held in abeyance until I have Das Kone. In other words, until I have all of the conditions of a Kinyan. And then all our questions are answered. You can't have a Tvicha Motzei Shabbos because the Tvicha has to activate the Kinyan Chatzer. And we have to have a Chilul Shabbos. Namely, everything, we don't have over here two stages like according to Rashi. Everything is happening simultaneously. Okay. So we have over here then a totally different perush in the Gemara, according to the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva. We're dealing with Kinyan Chatzer, which is coming simultaneously with the Tvicha in the Chatzer, either that we need an act to turn the Kinyan Chatzer into a Maisa Gneva, or we need Das Kone to make sure that we have all of the conditions of a Kinyan, which would turn him into a Ganav, and his Das is he only wants to be Kone it im Hashchita. Okay? Niskaven Lagonva Velizkasba im Shchitasa. Had he had Kavana to be Kone at the moment it wandered into his Rishus, according to the Rashba, that would have been enough. Just like by Aveda, just like by Mechira or Matana, Kinyan Chatzer can be passive. Who I did in the world of Gneva? But I need Das. And that Das over here is being postponed until the Shchita. Okay, so all of this is simply flashbacks to previous sugyas. But we had a real problem with Rashi. Why, according to Rashi, does Rabbah mention that the Gneva, I'm sorry, that the Tvicha was done on Shabbos? However, that's totally irrelevant. So that could be one answer, okay? Namely, look three lines from the bottom of the Rashba, three lines from the bottom of the page. Inami hadekatani seifa gana v'tavach b'Shabbos lav dafka v'tavach b'Shabbos hu adin gana b'Shabbos v'tavach emasai shiyirza. I mean, so you could say, according to Rashi, that the fact that the Braisa mentioned tavach b'Shabbos is simply to maintain a parallelism with the seifa mentioned, or the Reisha. The Reisha mentioned tavach b'Shabbos, right? The Reisha had a case of ganav erev Shabbos and tavach on Shabbos. So in the seifa, we are dealing with the case of ganav b'Shabbos. So it could have said tavach motzei Shabbos, but we just to keep it parallel to the Reisha. That's an answer. It's a weak answer, but it's an answer. But there is a very, very special answer which is given by the Ritva, where he says, this is not my answer for Rashi, but I had in Rashi a different girsa. I had a Rashi that Rashi related to this. It's very fascinating. We're missing this Rashi totally. It's not anywhere, except in the Ritva. So if you look in the Ritva, I'm terribly sorry for the quality of the photostat. The paragraph that says begins with the word patur, which you can't read, but it's right next to where it says Chidushei HaRitva. So if you go down four lines in the Ritva, he asks the question on Rashi. V'im tomar. Middle of the line, there's a period. V'im tomar. Lama li ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos. According to the way Rashi learned that the Gneva is via hotzah, and that's a kamei midrabe minei, afilu ganav b'shabbos v'tavach b'chol nami, even if you were toveach on Motzei Shabbos, or Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon. So the Ritva says, kvar tirtza Rashi zal. Rashi, in the Ritva's edition, had an answer. And what's the answer? Shim tavach b'chol, harei hi ki'igu chazro v'ganvo b'chol, v'chayev b'keren nami, and then you would also be chayev dalad v'hei. Namely, the only way you're going to be potter from dalad v'hei is if you were toveach on Shabbos. Because were you to wait to be toveach at Motzei Shabbos, then we'd view it as a new gneva, and if it's a new gneva without chilul Shabbos, then you'd be chayev keren and you'd be chayev dalad v'hei. So therefore, in order to have a p'tur of dalad v'hei, you had to have a tvicha on Shabbos. The question is, what in the world is going on over here? What in the world is going on over here? What is the halacha if I steal Zach, right? I steal Zach's sweatshirt, right? His Rutgers, right? Zach decided not to go to Rutgers, right? And so I steal his sweatshirt from him, and then Avram comes and steals it from me. Who's Chayev Kefal over here? Me or Avram? We have a Mishnah. Look at the very, very top of the page of sources that I gave you. Ein hagonev achar haganav mishalem tishlumei kefal. V'lo atoveach v'amocher achar haganav mishalem tishlumei dalad v'hei. The whole din of Geneva, Rashi explains over there, d'chsiv v'gunav v'beis ha'ish. The whole concept of kefal and dalad v'hei, these knasot are for the person who stole it from the owner. I stole it from Zach. I'm chayev kefil. Avram stole it from me. He's not going to be chayev kefil. He has to compensate me, right? He owes me a keren because he stole it from me. But he doesn't owe me kefil. I'm not the owner. You only owe kefil to an owner. And hu hadin l'chora, what does it make whether it's talking about I steal from Zach and then Avram steals from me, or I steal from Zach and then I steal from myself a second time? In other words, I have something in my attic and then I move it to my basement. What over here is Rashi talking about? I stole the animal on Shabbos. So Rashi says, if I'm not going to be Toveach on Shabbos, and if I'm going to be Toveach on Motzei Shabbos, it's like I stole it again. What do you mean I stole it again? Firstly, how do I steal it again, technically? But even if we say that somehow I could steal it from myself, I'm a split personality, but we're talking about a chiv of dalad v'hei. The chiv of dalad v'hei is only on the ganav mibeis sa'ish, is only on the first ganav. The second ganav is not chayav dalad v'hei, so even assuming that I'm a second ganav, I have a deja vu, I create the gneva again, Motzei Shabbos, but who am I stealing it from? From me. Not from the owner. And so why am I chayav dalad v'hei? What over here, what does he mean over here? Ukvar tirtza Rashi zal shim tavach b'chol, Hareyu ki'ilu chazro v'gunavo b'chol u'machayev keren nami. So here, the Rashba, in other words, had the Ritva stopped at this point, we really would have been stuck. But the Ritva then continues, and he continues to explain himself, and we're going to have to understand his explanation. And what's fascinating is that Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't have the Ritva in front of him. He didn't have a Ritva on Ksuvas. It's not something that he had, but he figured it out on his own. He asked a question on Rashi, and he gave the answer, and he figured out like what the Ritva is going to say on his own, and that's one approach. And we'll see another approach also, which Reb Chaim has, which can also fit into the Ritva. So let's go back to the Ritva and continue reading. Deha, the Ritva says, you're probably raising your eyebrows. How can you have a geneva after a geneva? So he says, Deha kol kama delo tevacho, birushuso demarayhu havekoi, viyofe kivenzo. That's the first statement. That's up to there, is this what the Ritva quotes the name of Rashi. And then the Ritva wants to bring a raya to Rashi, Sbarim devarim madarinam beperek meruba, the seventh perek baba kama, and we'll get to this in a minute. But let's stick first with what the Ritva quotes the name of Rashi. Let's just read the words. Kol kama delo tevacho, as long as this ganav, again, who was chayav, according to Rashi, He was motzi. He took a geneva from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. At that point, he was both chayev geneva and he was chayev misa. That, and then he continued, kol kama de lo tvacho, as long as he was not yet toveachit, birishuso de marayhu havekoi. As long as he wasn't toveachit, that animal, as long as it's still alive, is in the rishus of its original owner. Just a minute, it's in the house of the ganav. What is over here, this Rashi appears to be digging a pit for himself, right? Not only do we have this strange statement that you could be a ganav, gonev after a ganav, but he's telling us that this animal is still in the hands of the original owner. What happened over here? So let's look at Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay, the next paragraph is Rabbi Kiva Eger. He was bothered by the same problem in Rashi. Look at the second line. Umay irya tavach b'shabbos, afilu tavach l'macharaso b'chol potur, holek achiyav gneva. The same question that the Rashba asks, that the Ritva asks, Rabbi Kiva Eger asked on his own. V'lazen nireh, ilu tavachol b'chol, hatvicha atzmo have tvicho mechira. Says the same thing as the Ritva quotes the name of Rashi. V'afti yesh lomar, he was bothered by our problem. We have a Mishnah in Baba Kama that the second Ganav is not going to be Chayav Dalad Behei. Might not think the second Ganav is the same person or a different person. Mikol Makom Yesh Lomar. So the right Rabbi Kiva says, here we have a local issue. Kevan shahagneva haya b'shabbos, since the gneva took place via chilul Shabbos, v'lo kam birshuso l'shum chiyuv, and therefore the gneva was not mechayev the ganav any payment. The kamrei b'drabba minei lo naasa ganav bazeh, u'mishum hachi b'tavach b'chol shapir mikrei gneva. Wow, what over here is Rabbi Kiva Eger saying? This is a powerful statement in terms of the nature of kam lei b'derabba minei. Let's take this person who really stole via chilul Shabbos, right? And we say that this person doesn't have to pay because he's going to be chayav misa. Would you say that this person was over an avera of geneva? How do we understand kam lei midrabba minei? What does the chi of misa erase from the picture?
Didn't the Gemara say that you're chayav still? Didn't we say in the previous daf that you are chayav
for the action? Chi of Rami Olay. Chi of Rami Olay. Anyway, that we have a chi of Lesi Tidei Shemayim, etc., etc. Very, very fine. Okay. However, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, what is over here behind this explanation of the Ritva quotes in the name of Rashi, 100%. This is not our classic understanding of kam midrabba. If we're going to learn like the previous Rashi, this person was a ganav. He just is off the hook in terms of payment. Bezdin can't be mechayev him, but there's a payment there. There's an avera and there's a payment. Just as something we can't activate the payment. We can't coerce the payment. Because of kamei midrabbanei, a bezin isn't going to sit on a matter of mammon when this person has a chi of misa on his head. But according to this Ritva, how does he understand kamei midrabbanei? Not only you don't have to pay, but you're not a ganav. You weren't a ganav. You didn't. In other words, the moment you were chi of misa, everything else is erased from the picture. Nothing else is on the table. If you weren't a ganav, where is this object? Who does it still belong to? What is it considered? Well, it's in your hand. You're holding on to someone else's object. You're not a ganav, so who are you? What's the relationship of someone who's holding it to someone's object, but he's not a ganav? He's a shomer. He's a shomer. You're holding on to someone else's object. You know, it's okay. So you're a shoal shalomidas. You're not a ganav. You're not a ganav. And therefore, if later on you go ahead and you're toveach it, what's going to happen at that point? You're going to become a ganav. So if you're toveach it on Shabbos, also you're not going to be a ganav because kamei v'derabamina. But if you're toveach it motzei Shabbos, then you're going to be a ganav. Let's read it again in the Rabbi Kiva Eger, and then read it back into the Ritva. Rabbi Kiva says, "Ela yeshlom." I'm sorry. Mikomakom yeshlomar kevan shahganeva haya b'shabbos v'lo kam birushuso l'shum chiyuv dekamle midrabamine lo naase ganav bazeh mishum hachi tavach b'chol shapir mikri gneva. Going back to the Ritva. Kvar tirtza Rashi zal. The imtavach b'chol harayu ki'ilu chazor gnavo b'chol v'machayev keren name. The akal kol kama delo tavachol birshuso demarayu havekoi. Namely, that the geneva, to view the world of kama midrabamine as though the geneva never occurred. Not just that there's a p'tur tashlumen, as you're 100% correct, Avram, as we saw, as we were medayik, we were medayik that way in Rashi, that Rashi by us uses the language of chiyuva rami alei, right? But Rashi didn't say it black and white over here, right? And so the Ritva has a girsa in Rashi that when we have kamei midrabamine, we don't have an aveira of geneva. We don't have an aveira of geneva. We don't have kinyane geneva. We don't have kinyane geneva. So it's still birshus marayu. Namely, it's not just we don't have chiyuve geneva. We don't have the maise geneva never got off the ground. And therefore, if Motzei Shabbos, you now go ahead and are toveach, with this act of tvicha, you're gonev v'toveach, and you're b'chayev, kefil dalad v'hei, because this animal is still basically in the reshus of the original owner. It's just temporarily being held in escrow by this individual who's chayev misa. Right? But the chayev misa takes away the gneva totally. That's very, very machudash. I agree with you 1,000%. I would rather not put that into Rashi. I can't take it away from Rabbi Akiva Eger. He said it. And you could perhaps say that's what the Ritva is adding in over here. But there is another option as well that I'd like to suggest, and with that we'll close for the day. Yeah? What?
Is it possible this could be a peculiarity in Gneva, not in Kimli
B'Derabamineh? Okay. So that's what I'd like to suggest to you. But we just need a little more background material. So look on the top of the page over here, where I photostated for you from the Takvitor Torani. Sorry for my low-tech cut and paste. But it says, Baba Kama Samachaya Mer Aleph. Amar Rabba, the same Rabba, this is the same Rabba by us, okay? Haiman de Gazel Chavita de Chamra Mechavre. Someone stole a barrel of wine from his neighbor. Meikara Shav Yazuza Ulebesof Shavya Arbazuze. When he stole it, the barrel of wine was worth a zuz. Later on, the wine appreciated, the value of wine appreciated, and this barrel of wine is worth 400% more than it was worth when he stole it. So Rabba says that if he were to return it, so Haresha Chalafanecha, but if Tavra, if he broke the barrel, Oshasya, or he simply drank the wine, Mishalem Dalad, then he has to pay the higher price. Itvar Memela, if the barrel of wine broke in his house on its own, then Mishalem Zuzah. What over here is the rule and what is the exception? In the world of Gzela, does anyone know that? Can anyone, I'll begin a sentence. Kol HaGazlan and Mishalmin, can anyone complete the sentence in two words? HaGzela, no. Kol HaGazlanim Mishalmim Kish'as HaGzela. The rule is that if you steal something and it goes up in value and it disappears. Let's say you steal a car and you take it down, you steal a car and the car is worth X amount. And then there's a depreciation or appreciation of the car, and then the car is totaled. And now you have to pay for the car that you stole. Kol HaGazlanim Mishalmim Kish'as HaGzela. Irrelevant to it. Up in value, down in value, that's the rule. So what over here is the exception to the rule? the Tavar Ashasya or the Itra Memela? Which is the exception to the rule? Tavra Vishasya. So let's look in Rashi. Tavra Vishasya, Tavra Biyadayim, Oshasya, Mashalim Dalad, Ubim Hamafgid Mefarish Taima, the Kol Kama de Isa Be'ena, Birishusa Damare Kayama, the Haboila Hadure, Hilkach Birishusa Damara Hukra, Vahi Shaita the Tavra Vishasya, Hudika Gozila. Aval itra memela, amai machaivisle, ahi shaita digzela, ahi shaita zuzahu deshavya, gabit vichu mechira, have kitavra vishasya. Rashi says something over here, like wow. Rashi says that when you steal something, you can go ahead and still steal it again. In other words, that we view your breaking it as a second act of gzela. Again, we're dealing with here with Gazlan. We're dealing with a Gazlan. If it breaks on its own, so what are you mechayev you for your act of zeil? What act of zeil did you do? The original act. But if you go ahead and steal it and then break it, we view it like a gzeila after a gzeila. Namely, we saw in the Mishnah that there's no such thing as a geneva after a geneva. Ein hagonev achar haganav. But there's gzeila and there's geneva, right? These are two different worlds. Gzela is when I am a highway robber, and on gzela, what am I chayav? Kered. Gneva is I am a stealthy thief, and what am I chayav? A gneva, kefel, dalet vehei, etc. So we saw that ein gneva acher gneva. If I pick your pocket, I'm a ganav, and I put your wallet in my pocket, and someone picks my pocket, right? So ein gneva acher gneva. The knas of kefil and dalet vehei is on the first ganav, not on the second ganav. But we never saw that ein gzela achar gzela. So Rashi says that a gazlan can be a gazlan twice. First time he was gozel, he took it away from the person, but it still is returnable. And then when he breaks it, now it's no longer returnable, he's now a gazlan after a gazlan. This is normally known as the shita of the nesivos. It's Rashi, but no one calls it Rashi. But it's known as the Nesivos in Siman Lama Dalet, that you can be a Gazlan after a Gazlan. Why is it known as the Shita of the Nesivos? Because the Ktsos over there in Siman Lama Dalet says the reason you're Chayef for Tavar Ashasya is as a Mazik. You can't be a Gazlan after a Gazlan. You can be a Mazik after a Gazlan. In other words, when I stole it, I was a Gazlan. And when I break it, I'm a Mazik. And since I'm being a Mazik, I'm Chayef for, and being a Gazlan, only be Chayef one. So we view me as a Mazik. The Nesiva says, no, why bring in Mazik? Mazik is a different parsha. This is Gzela after Gzela. So, in any case, those are two opinions. But there's a third way of learning as well. And that's the Rambam, according to Reb Chaim. Okay, so when I have a case, I'm a Gazlan, and then I break it or I drink it, we say I'm Chayev, the higher price. I call it Gzela. So either I'm Chayev, the higher price, as a Mazik, according to Ktsos, or chayav the higher price as another gazlan, according to Rashi and the Nesivos. Or, let me give you what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that if I stole an animal that was worth one, and then I shech the animal, and it's worth four, I'm going to pay dalet vehei four times four. Not four times one. Just a minute. Yeah, or it's dalet vehei, we're talking about a chi of gneva. What's going on over here? We had, according to Rashi, you could be a gazlan after a gazlan. According to the Ksos, you could be a mazik after a gazlan. According to Rashi, according to the Rambam, you can be a ganav after a ganav. There's a Mishnah. Ein agonev achar ganav mishan tishlemei keifa velo tovech mocher shalem tishlemei dalet vehei. What over here is built into this picture? So the Reb Chaim says this twice. Once in Hilchos Geneva, and once in Hilchos Chovel Umazik. I suggest, let's go in the second Keta, and then we'll see it back in the first Keta. Achein Nira, Lefi Mashe Kosev HaRambam Perak Al Hilchos Geneva, Degonav Kli Ushvaru, Hayashave B'Shas HaGeneva Shnayim, U'B'Shas HaShvira Arba, Mishalim Kefel K'Shas HaShvira. He's quoting over here, you pay kefil kishasa shvira. Hare de shvira, you never pay kefil for being a mazik. You never pay kefil for being a gazlan. Hare hashvira chashiva zos gineva. The machayev kefil kishas shvira. Vainu mishum, the kol shachefetz gonov o gazul, kol nezek shaose biyadayim din gineva u gezeila pe. Or, to read it back in the first section, lefize hare necha de kasav ram de betavach o machar o shavar meshalim kishas hamada bedin. Hamad Bedin will be the time of the Tvicha. Mitaima da hashtahu de kaganevla. The cave on the Nishbura halesel geneva be'en. Vachain tavach de kana bishinu yomachar shotziya kfarmi rishuso. Kuhu kalisa ligneva dame. Kuhu kalesel geneva dame. Ukvar nishlam chiyuv genevaso bekefil vedalad vehe. Alkein lo shayach od in pchat gzula, etc. Because the three lines of Vayim beRosh baBekama, Kosef came lehedya. Nishbara biyadayim meshalim gam kefil kiyukra deshas shvira. The zehu kamoshe kasavnu ledas haRambam. What's the unique perish over here of Reb Chaim in the Rambam? The Lechora calls out from the language of the Rambam that at this point of tvira or tavra shasa yirchayev kefil kishas tvira oshtia. What then? It's not a gzela. It's not an mazik. It is what? When are you chayev kefil? For what are you chayev kefil? Gneva. It's a gneva. You can have a gneva after a gneva. Either Mishnah says you can't have a gneva after a gneva, but that's a regular ganav. But tavra v'shasya, when you take it to the next level, that's considered to be a new gneva. Namely, that as opposed, or I shouldn't say new Geneva, that's considered to be an enlargement, an enhancement of your original Geneva. Namely, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva Eger, that wanted to say that if you shecht on Motzei Shabbos, you never did a Geneva, now you're doing a Geneva for the first time, now you can't say that. There was a Kamei Midrabimine. There was a Geneva, but there was a Geneva on which you're putter. But now, if you go ahead and destroy it, even had there not been an original Kamei Midrabimineh, we would have viewed this act of destroying it as a new Geneva. Because when a Ganav takes it to the next stage, that's considered to be a new Geneva. When a Ganav steals something, he's doing Geneva level 1. When he destroys it, he's doing Geneva level 2. And therefore, had this been done at Motzei Shabbos, this would have been Geneva level 2. As long as the Tvicha is on Shabbos, it's still under the umbrella of Kamei Midrabimineh. Kamei Midrabimineh, we have a Ptur of Keren, we have a Ptur of Dalad Vehei. Masha'enkin, the moment we move to Motzei Shabbos, this is already considered to be a new Geneva. Look back in the Ritva. Now look back in the Ritva, where we left off. Umisbararim Devar. If you want to understand Rashi, I'll explain to you, Rashi. May damrina beperek meruba man de gozal chavita de chama mechavre tavra meikara havishavi zuzla sof shavadalid itra vemele meshalem zuzla tavra veshasya meshalem dalid ki hashta. That this is going to explain Rashi. If you want to understand Rashi, look at that Gemara da samachay. I didn't bring in this Gemara. The Ritva brings it in to explain Rashi. Namely, the Ritva is telling us you don't have to understand, like Rabbi Kiva Eger said, that the Kamei Midrabimineh erases the original Geneva, and now we have a new Geneva. You could learn to understand, like Reb Chaim learned the Rambam, that when we have an original Geneva, and then you take it to the next stage and remove it from the world, you are now doing a second act of Geneva. Even though you had stolen it, it was still related to the owner. There was still a possibility of Hashava. Now you take away that possibility of Hashava, you're another Ganav. You're Goniv it a second time. Mizbarim Devarav. You want to understand Rashi? Look at that Gemara, Daf Samachayim at Aleph. That will explain to you Rashi. That will explain to you Rashi according to Rashi in Baba Kama. Rashi in Baba Kama dealt, that's a second Gzela. Gzela isn't going to help us over here. We want to be Chayav Dalad Vehei. The Ksos isn't going to help us because also Mazik isn't going to get us to Dalad Vehei. But a Gneva can get us to Dalad Vehei. And so over here we have the possibility of Gneva. So we have over here, fascinating, within the Ritva, he brings in two Lashonos, Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't see the Ritva. Rabbi Chaim didn't see the Ritva. Rabbi Akiva Eger was mechaven to the Ritva, if you want to be medayik, in the first language of the Ritva, kol kama delo tvacho, birashusei demarave havikoi, that you could say that you never actually stole it. That's the way the Rabbi Akiva Eger learned. Kama d'ramina means you never stole it. That's very radical. Very, very radical. So you could then learn differently and say, no. Umisbarim devar. The Ritva is saying, what do I mean? Birshusei demarayu. Not that it wasn't stolen, but it's still in potential for a second geneva. The second geneva is waiting in the wings. You can take it to the next level by tzvicha and by destroying it. Then you'd be a second ganav. If you would have shot it in the head, you'd be chayev kefil. When you toveach it, then you have a new geneva and a chiyuv of dalad vehei. And I just pointed out that that's the way Reb Chaim understood the din of Tavra Veshasya within the Rambam. That Tavra Veshasya is not a new mazik, it's not another gzeila, it's another gneva. It's a continuity of the gneva and applies even to the world of Kefel and Dalad Vehe. Okay? So we have then this option to learn within Rashi, that Rashi said that gneva had to be done, the Tvich Mechir had to be done on Shabbos, so it would still be under the umbrella of Kamim Midrabine. Had it been done Motzei Shabbos, you would have been Chayev Dalad Vehei. I am in Geneva in Tvicha B'mechira. We have a Geneva. We have either a new Geneva, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, totally new Geneva, it was never actually stolen until now. Kamim Midrabine, there's no Aveira of Geneva. Or, not being so radical, there was a previous Geneva, but when you take a Geneva to the next level, that's considered to be another act of Geneva. And not just in terms of Yukra Vizula, in terms of how much you pay, but also in terms of the quality. That this is going to be a Geneva in terms of Kefil, this is going to be a Geneva in terms of Dalad Vehei. Yes?
To what extent would the Korach say that this is a secondary Geneva? Meaning, would he also require the Yuchayv to be Nezik?
A ganav has kinyane geneva. A ganav and a gazlan, they have kinyanim which pater them from nezek. That's the concept of kol gazlan mishamish kishas hagzela. They have a quasi ownership, but they are chayev kefil and dalad vehei at the time of the gzela or at the time of the geneva. What we're pointing out over here is that time can be two options. We can have two options of when we have the Maisa Geneva.
So the
Nafamina
with the
Ketzos
would be that he would say
Yechav
Nezek, but he wouldn't require.
Right. No Kefil and no Dalad Vehei.
Right.
Right, only Nezek. And who are the even within Rashi or the Nesivos? You know, breaking is an act of Gzela. To view the breaking as a continuity of the original Geneva, you know, by taking it to a higher level, that's Reb Chaim. And that's the Rambam, that's Reb Chaim. Okay, we'll stop over here. In terms of coming events, so you're off on Sunday. So next year will be a week from today. I would like, if possible, to give two more shiurim, namely next Wednesday and the following Sunday, and then give you 3 weeks for Chazara. Okay, if that's okay with you. The last shiur will be, we'll have a shiur Wednesday, and then the following Sunday, and then 3 weeks later we'll have the Bechina. Not on a Sunday, on a Monday. Okay, so you shouldn't. You don't have to feel pressure on Shabbos. Shabbos. Malchus, Malchus, Malchus. You'll feel pressure on Sunday morning. That the Bechina will be on what? It's the 19th of January in the secular calendar. I believe that it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves. It's around Rosh Chodesh Teves. Maybe Beis. No, Teves. Oh, Shvat, I'm sorry. Shvat, right, I understand, right. Chodesh Teves is Chanukah. That's this coming Sunday, Monday. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. It's around Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Okay, so floating around, there are also Mar Makomos.